Zephaniah chapter 3. Woe to her who is rebellious and polluted the oppressing city. She didn't obey the voice, she didn't receive correction, she didn't trust in Yahweh, she didn't draw near to her God. Wait a minute. Zephaniah is prophesying at the time of Josiah, who's made all these reforms, apparently. But God is saying now about Jerusalem, they didn't really obey. They didn't receive correction. They don't really trust in God. They didn't really draw near to God. And yet they sacrificed. In chapter 1, he says, you do swear by Yahweh and also swear by your God Malcham. So it wasn't that they'd become atheists or that they said to Yahweh, you're not our God anymore. They said, no, he is our God. They kept up the temple services with great enthusiasm. But she didn't trust in Yahweh. She didn't draw near to her God. So this is the thing, that what God wants is humble trust in him. Remember we read in chapter 2, God says, seek humility. Have humility as one of the things you would love to get. Have that as the thing you covet after. She didn't draw near to her God. You can go through all the appearance of praise of God and religious worship and not draw near to him at all. Her princes in the midst of her, these are the sons of Josiah, are as roaring lions, her judges as evening wolves. They leave nothing until the next day. Her prophets are arrogant and treacherous people. Again, it's arrogance and pride that God condemns, number one. Her priests have desecrated the sanctuary. They've done violence to the law. Yahweh in the midst of her, he is righteous. He will do no wrong. Every morning he brings his justice to light. He doesn't fail, but the unjust know no shame. So in the midst of all this, there was God. He knew exactly what was going on. But as I say, at the time of Zephaniah, Josiah was apparently doing all his great reforms and everyone was all apparently caught up in great zeal for God. But he sees right through that. I have cut off nations. Their battlements are desolate. I've made their streets waste so that no one passes by. Their cities are destroyed so that there is no man. I said, just fear me. Receive correction so that her dwelling won't be cut off, according to all that I have appointed concerning her. But they rose early and corrupted all their doings. God says, just fear me. I think fearing God in the sense of respecting him, having a sense that I have drawn near to him. He says, you didn't draw near to me. Here he says, just fear me. So to fear God is to draw near to him. It doesn't quite mean what we might understand by fearing somebody. It's not quaking in your boots. God is not like that. He's saying, respect me. Draw near to me and respect me. Because love is really respect. If you love God, you respect God. Therefore wait for me, says Yahweh, until the day that I rise up to seize the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms to pour on them my indignation. So God is saying, wait for me. This was the message of Habakkuk. Wait for me. I am working a work in your days. Wait for me. Although it appears that I am not active, I am working. But you need to wait. And this develops our faith, and it develops our trust in God. That we don't see him working as we'd like to see him working, but wait for me. And those who wait will find that their faith is turned to sight. For then, this is talking about finally when he establishes the kingdom, I will purify the lips of the peoples, that they may all call on the name of Yahweh to serve him with one neck. From beyond the rivers of Cush, my worshippers, even the daughter of my dispersed people, will bring my offering. In that day you will not be ashamed for all your doings in which you have transgressed against me. For then I will take away out of the midst of you your proud, exalting ones, and you will no more be arrogant in my holy mountain. So they did worship God in the temple mount, in the temple, but they did so arrogantly because they were not repentant. But in that day, he says, you won't be ashamed for all your sins, because when God forgives you, he removes that shame. It is totally scribbled. It's forgiven. It's no more. You have no shame before him. But I will leave in the midst of you an afflicted and humbled people, and they will take refuge in the name of Yahweh. Well, that's what we do when we're baptized into the name. But this is an afflicted and humbled people. After I've taken away from the midst of you your proud, exalting ones, and you will no more be arrogant. So, again and again, how many times does God have to say this? It is pride which is the issue. He so values humility. So, as we read in chapter 2, seek humility. Have being humble as something on the list of things you would love to have. The remnant of Israel will not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither will a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they will feed and lie down, and no one will make them afraid. Sing, daughter of Zion, shout, Israel, be glad and rejoice with all your heart, daughter of Jerusalem. Yahweh has taken away your judgments, he's thrown out your enemy. The King of Israel, Yahweh, is in the midst of you. You will not be afraid of evil any more. In that day it will be said to Jerusalem, don't be afraid, Zion, don't let your hands be weak. Yahweh your God is in the midst of you, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will calm you in his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Wonderful words. This is how it will be for the humbled ones. For those who have repented and accepted his grace, Jesus will come and finally, as we understand at the end of Revelation, God himself will dwell with man on earth, and we will see his face, as Job hoped for long ago. And he will rejoice over us. He will calm us in his love. All the nervousness and the trauma of this life will be calmed by the knowledge of his love. And he will sing over us. I mean, how more wonderful could it be? God himself on earth, rejoicing over little obscure, weak people like you and me. I will gather those who mourn with longing for the appointed feasts. You will no longer suffer reproach. Behold, at that time I will deal with all those who afflict you, and I will save those who are lame, gather those who are driven away. I will give them praise and honour, those whose shame was once in all the earth. At that time will I bring you in, and at that time will I gather you. For I will give you honour and praise among all the peoples of the earth when I return your captives before your eyes, says Yahweh.